everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Common Podcast number 318. I have to admit, I am in low energy mode. We had our midnight release last night for Action Comics 1000, and I'm working on about 3 hours sleep, which is fun and will make me sharp as a tack.
As usual.
A couple regular podcasters were here last night and chose not to return today, which I understand. But today, joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Dave,
Pat,
none of whom came to the midnight release party. But that's okay. I don't hold it against them. Well, completely. Spencer claims he had to be at work at like 5 a.m. or some crazy time.
He still came and bought the Action Comics.
I was gonna say, did you get my money?
You got my money. Calm down.
I don't need to be standing in a 2 hour line to buy a book.
But there was cookies though.
There were cookies. See, I do what I can to try to, you know.
In my defense, I'm old.
Right. See, so am I, man. I'm sitting here going 3 hours sleep. I am not functional.
Yeah,
in three
I am not
hours
20
sleep.
Years old anymore.
I will be going home and passing out. So I honestly have no idea if there's any news. I don't remember seeing anything.
I don't remember
seeing anything big.
I saw a big movie news that Steven Spielberg.
I did see that, yes.
Attached to direct the Blackhawks.
Oh, I thought he was just developing
for DC
something.
I saw him as a director.
Okay,
attached as director for Blackhawks for the. I guess it's a DC Universe movie. Yeah,
That's. I gotta wonder about that though.
Well, I think it can be a DC, not necessarily a DC Universe. It wouldn't need to tie in anything.
Well,
although
no,
it
that's
could,
what I was going to say.
It could tie in a little bit into like Wonder Woman mythology or whatever.
Yeah, but I gotta wonder.
Are they gonna update it or are they gonna set it in the 40s?
I think you gotta set it in the 40s.
I agree.
Yeah.
Although Wonder Woman so far has only been in World War I, so they could easily tie her into World War II with them. That would be an easy match since they got rid of Steve Trevor. Maybe.
Yeah,
never saw a body.
That's because it exploded all over.
Right.
France.
Well, I get it, but I'm just saying when you unless you see the body, you know, we've all seen Game of Thrones.
And it's comics 3, and if you do see a body,
right, it doesn't really matter. They just magically come back and they look at him like, "Oh, about time."
Unless you're Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben.
What it used to be, Uncle Ben and Bucky were the two, and now Bucky's back, so it's Uncle Ben.
Yep.
In his defense, he doesn't have any powers or, you know, or anything.
That we know of.
Neither did Bucky.
But he got
Bucky?
A robotic arm.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Uncle Ben. I'm like, he may have had a late mutant power. So.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't really have much. It's everything for me is just kind of a fog.
DC wouldn't have announced anything this week anyway because they didn't want to steal thunder.
Right, right.
Yeah. I'm surprised Marvel didn't do the dick move and, like, on Tuesday afternoon drop some major bombshell. What, you don't think they would do that?
I'm thinking, do they have any?
You can always manufacture something.
True.
I did see a new Fantastic Four image.
Okay.
With they added... Franklin and the kids.
Yeah,
Franklin
but they're not
Val.
Like kids. Or...
But they're older now. They really aged them until like
was 15, Herbie
or
in the picture?
15 or 16.
Okay.
It looks like. And they have FF. So
okay.
It looks like the Future Foundation.
Doesn't have 5 and 6 back. Or anything? Okay.
No, it doesn't have 5 or 4.5.
Thing 1, Thing 2.
Thing 1 and Thing 2. That'd be good.
Do that.
An F1 or F2 key.
No, that's true, because Universal owns that, not Disney.
No, just him shuffling variants I'm just watching. I'm very easily distracted right now.
Obviously. So.
So, yeah, no real news.
Any questions?
No, I didn't even ask for questions, because I figured we wanted to keep this one short and... You know, not.
Yeah, we don't want
not
you to...
long. There we go.
Well, we got plenty. We got plenty of sleep.
Right, but don't we all want to get home and see the end of the game? Well, Pat's dying to see the end of the game.
They win when I don't watch it. So.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Well, I want to see the game. I just want to go home.
You're the one who read all the damn books.
I read all the damn books, so I will let you guys go first, and I will then I'll bat cleanup. So we'll start. We'll start with Spencer. We never start with Spencer.
You've started
okay.
with me before.
We occasionally start with Spencer.
Flash. This was the end of the Perfect Storm storyline. Flash gets his uses the Speed Force to cure Gorilla Grodd of the disease that he had that was killing him. But with him being a typical bad guy, he still wasn't happy with this, so he tapped into the negative Speed Force and was trying to destroy Central City. The only way to stop the all the Speed Force storms going on were Flash, Barry, Flash, Wally, Wallace, Godspeed, all of the new speedsters had to work together to drain Gorilla Grodd of the negative Speed Force and neglect deck. And so they were, as working together, they were able to stop Grodd. And Godspeed disappears right afterwards, so I'm sure he'll be showing up in a storyline or two. But the issue ends with Barry finally finding Iris and telling her how much like he, you know, loves her and stuff like that. They haven't really talked that much since she found out that he was the Flash and all that. And this is just more kind of lead up to the next story arc, which is the Flash Wars with, it seems like him and old Wally are going to duke it out or try to figure out who's, you know, the best Flash out of both of them. Sideways.
I'm behind on that, so.
This is a pretty good issue. It picks up right where the second one left off with the speed villain. I can't think of her name at the moment, but she got her powers during the Speed Force storm, like in the first couple issues of The Flash. That's how she got her powers. But they reveal in this issue she had cancer, and when she got Speed Force, she thought it cured her. But it turns out every time she uses her powers, it makes the cancer spread throughout her body quicker. So that's why she's a villain trying to take out this hospital, because she's upset that they weren't able to do anything to help cure her. So Sideways has to end up finding her in nothing but like a medical robe and his mask. And after jumping her I think it was a loading dock, he's finally able to defeat her and talk some sense into her. But then the cop shows up, which triggers her again, and pretty much ends with him falling through one of his passageway things and accidentally cutting off the villain's arm. So that's pretty much where that issue left off, and revealed that some outside government party is looking in Tim, so they're probably going to be going after him for a little bit. The Dead Hand.
I read that one.
It's the first issue of the new Kyle Higgins series. It's really interesting. I liked it. It had a nice spy drama kind of thing going on there. And so it follows, I can't think of what the character's name was, but the main guy on the cover, of how he rose through the ranks to become this, like, super soldier kind of, like, spy character. And something happens that is, you know, top secret. And so he leaves, and nobody knows where he's at. And it turns out he's in some small town America being the sheriff there.
That's, like, into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it started, like, in the 80s.
Yeah, what was it? Cold War?
During the Cold War, yeah.
So once they fast forward into that, they this mysterious hiker shows up out of nowhere over the ridge, dehydrated, looking for help. So the sheriff and everybody helps him into the small town diner, gives him something to drink, tries to figure out what's going on, and but the sheriff thinks something's up, so he starts questioning him, and things turn sideways pretty quick and ends up killing the hiker. But one of the high school kids who was in the back of the bar drinking happened to see this without them knowing. So there's that secret, which I'm sure will play out more in the future issues. And so it ends, the first issue ends with them pulling out of the small town to actually revealing that it's some place in Russia, some, like, mountain region. So why is there some kind of small kind of Americana town in the mountains of Russia? I don't know, but hopefully we'll find out.
Yeah, real twist.
But like I said, it was a pretty good issue. And
yeah, that was Kyle Higgins wrote that one.
I'm interested to see where it goes forward. Oblivion Song?
Yep. You read that too, Dave?
I read that too,
okay.
Yeah.
So it pretty much follows this whole issue, just what follows then, that couple he pulled out from that other dimension from last issue, and showing them how the war changed, and, you know, just the different, like, the wall and stuff like that. But the big reveal is that them telling him that there are a lot more people left over there, which is really, you know, piques his interest, because, you know, he's trying to get more funding to, you know, send more people over to try to rescue everyone, which he hasn't. He's been having trouble getting the funding for. So after that, he tries to go back over himself for, you know, try to gather more evidence to, you know, to show to the government, to try to get that backing. And he goes up against some kind of monster, right, that kind of injures him a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that's where that some person gets the drop on him. And that's pretty much where the issue ends, with him under the thumb of some new character that we haven't met yet. Did you like it, Dave?
It was good, yeah. I'm enjoying it. There seemed to be more exposition in this issue than the first one. And the reason he's so interested in going over there is his brother is still...
You're right.
Yeah.
Who they showed at the end of issue
still
one.
Still over there. Yeah, they showed at the end of issue one. So, yeah. So it's been good. Yeah, I really liked it. Mm-hmm.
Good solid. Yeah, he that guy really knows how to draw that weird stuff, that, like, extra-dimensional weird monster stuff. That's about it. I think there's some other stuff, but I think you guys read it, so I'll let you guys go.
Okay. First one Read the RoboCop.
So did I.
Citizen's Arrest.
Yep.
Pretty much the only reason I never bought a RoboCop comic in my life.
Sure, Dave.
I didn't, but Brian Wood.
I didn't say just the Brian Woods one.
Yep. So yeah, Brian Wood wrote this, so I had to pick it up. It's been a while.
Get her alive.
Your list on your phone, Dave.
Yeah.
Look at you,
man. Fancy.
Normally he had the paper all rolled up that he'd hit Adam.
No. But this is set 30 years after the original RoboCop and the Omni.
OCP.
OCP.
Consumer products.
Omni consumer products. They now have an app.
OCP.
They now have an app that people can use to report crimes. And you pay a small fee. And if the person is arrested, you get that money back like 5 times.
Oh, so it's like the lottery.
Yeah. Kind of.
Scumbag lottery.
It is,
yeah.
It is, yeah. And one of the main characters is this Detroit cop who finds the original RoboCop who's been retired, quote unquote, and he's in
there
this,
was nothing left of him to retire.
Well, he's sitting in the slum house all by himself with his gun on the table in front of him, but he's been deactivated.
Right, what it started was this rookie cop, his wife was going to the hospital to have a baby, and they point out that they don't have any insurance because the new guy that took over the town disbanded the police and did this app instead.
Okay.
And now it's got just robots going around.
ED-209s?
I don't know.
No, they weren't, like, they were not big, like, they were more humanoid.
I like the ED-209s better. They take care of the problem.
Yeah, but so he's kind of now down on his luck. He's trying to figure out how to make ends meet and everything. You know, he gets to do payments for the birth of the child and everything. So he hears a rumor that RoboCop is out there, and he goes to
Murphy.
Yeah.
Jesus, didn't you guys ever watch the movie?
It's been a while, man.
I love that movie.
But it was really good. I mean,
so you're okay with, like, pot robot, not just full-blown robot?
Yeah, because Murphy is still human. He just has, he's a cyborg. He doesn't, his conscience is still there, and it overrules him. Because they tried to program all the stupid little, I think he had 4 main objectives, and then so he fries himself to erase his memory, and he just becomes a cop again. That's a robot you can live with. Except for when he couldn't arrest members of the OCP board, so he had to fire, what the hell's the guy's name? I think it was Dick Jones, and he gets elbowed, and RoboCop shoots him. His arms are like 3 times normal human size when he's falling out the window.
You like that? No. Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Brian Wood does political. It's political satire. And it's,
but then
it's
basically
really
something has happened to Murphy where they've like deprogrammed him and he can't even shoot himself to put himself out of his misery.
Can't pick up a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't even pick up
a gun. No, they reprogrammed him.
Not like in RoboCop 2 where he was saying stupid things and while the Little League baseball team was robbing the store.
Did Frank Miller write that one? Or
he wrote number 2. Number 2, he was in. He was in it too.
Okay. Next couple Marvel's book. The new Exiles number 1.
Read it.
I enjoyed it. This is written by the guy who's Saladin Ahmed, who's writing Abbott from Boom, a series I'm liking.
The art was very Mike Allred-esque, which I like the layout, which I like that very much. My only problem with it was it has Blink going around and recruiting 2 characters in this to be on her team.
Yeah.
And my problem with that is I wrote that book in study hall in high school where the leader went out to make his team and went out and visited and tried to encourage each character to join his team. And it was just a long way to get there.
Yeah.
And they didn't even address the big character that they added to the book, the new Valkyrie character. So that was my only problem. Is just I was just like this, you know, I didn't like the Iron Lad character at all,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
it was a little thin, and I felt it was a little paint by numbers.
Okay.
But I love the art.
It seemed there's a lot of I thought there's a lot of story in it because it starts with Nick,
yeah, but just with Nick Fury. Yeah, it's like you're waiting for them to get the team to go on a mission, and after issue one, we're still don't even have the team together.
Okay,
but you know who the team is by the cover, though,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we only meet like half of them in the book,
right?
Did you get to meet cartoon Wavy?
No, just Ms. Marvel, an older Ms. Marvel who goes by Khan. And another Iron Lad character from another dimension. And the other Marvel one was Captain America.
Right there.
700.
Little confused, but only because I hadn't been reading the other issues, which I accept.
You didn't read the other 699?
No, I did not read the other, like, four in this storyline.
Damn.
It kind of all fits together because that Rampart group that went to that when I think the first issue Cap was in Texas, that Rampart group, they're the ones who took over the country in 2025, that they've now been defeated and Cap is now king of the United States, and there's a power vacuum, so there's Russians in the nation's capital, and either Thing or the Hulk are fighting Latverians in San Diego. But so I think Bruce Banner found part of the Fantastic Four's time machine, which allows Cap to go back in time. He doesn't want to do it
right
at first, but then he does go back in time and stop the first missile from being launched.
Yeah, because New York City had been nuked.
Yeah, because New York City was nuked. That gets him to change his to change his mind. But I enjoyed it. It was really good. Great art by Chris Samnee.
And I bailed on the backup story, which is mean, but it was Wade re-dialoguing a Jack Kirby story.
Yeah.
I just like, I think I can, you know.
I didn't read that either.
So, yeah, this was Chris Samnee's last issue. Now they do a couple fill-ins before Captain America number one, so...
Who's on Captain America number one? Do you know that? Do we know that
yet? Ta-Nehisi Coates. Oh, okay. And somebody, Lionel Yu is drawing it, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Next one, Gideon Falls.
Yeah.
Number two.
Read that. I wrote Gravity Falls.
Sorry. Or Gravity Falls. This is by Jeff Lemire. I don't know how much you guys talked about this the first issue when I wasn't here, but the main character, there's two main characters, Norman Sinclair. He's kind of hoarding trash and putting in bottles on shelves in his home because he thinks that they're the key to figuring out some kind of mystery. And then there's Father Fred who arrives at a church in Gideon Falls and he's being held. There was a murder at the end of issue one. And now he's being held by police for this murder, in connection with the murder. And there's the Black Barn.
But that isn't there, so he keeps talking about it, and they obviously don't know it.
Yeah, so not sure certain how these the Black Barn and all these different characters are connected. But... I'm willing to wait it out for Jeff Lemire because it's.
Yeah, I think he's earned it.
He's earned it. Definitely.
Yeah, it has been a little slow. That's one concern I noticed. When I put the variant back on the shelf, I had a whole lot of number two. So, number one might not have grabbed people, and I don't know if this one is going to grab more.
Yeah.
So a little concerned about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that.
Maybe one of those ones that more people get into in trade. But if you don't get them to get the issues...
Better, we'll read better in the trade.
Yeah. But if you don't get enough single issues, you won't have that many trades.
Okay. The last one I'll mention.
See you, Tim.
I have to mention an Archie book, so quickly mention Archie's number 6, since Colin was nice enough to tell me it came out last week.
Well, you thought it was the...
Instead of 2 weeks ago.
Right. Well, I couldn't sell it to you when you thought it was came out, because it didn't come out.
But this is the...
He could have.
I couldn't.
You couldn't have created your own Archie's number 6. And
you just get some paper folded, you know, put some stick figures on it.
But this is the Archie's... touring across the country and meeting all these, teaming up with all these progressive bands like Churches and the Monkees. But in this issue, they get a big name to produce their new album, Blondie. But Jughead has quit the band.
Oh, no.
And Blondie or Deborah Harry won't... produce the record without Jughead on drums. So they got to go out to the, they're in, somewhere in the San Fernando Valley, so they could go out to every burger joint and find and find where Jughead is. I think the next issue is the last issue of this. It doesn't have enough to distinguish it from, like, the regular Archie title. It doesn't fit in, or... even the horror titles, but so not the greatest of all the Archie books. And
well, that's not good.
There's only one more issue. Hopefully they get to do their album the next issue. The big cliffhanger at the end was that they're gonna go up against Josie and the Pussycats, which wasn't much of a cliffhanger because you kind of expect that. And that's all I got. Pat.
Okay. Thrawn. Are you still reading that, Dave?
Oh, I didn't get to that one last week, no.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
So this was, it didn't really focus on him too much. There was a woman whose parents owned some kind of mine. And basically they were getting screwed by the local governor out of it. Like, you know, you're either going to sell it to me or the Empire's just going to take it and they won't be as nice. You know, one of those type deals. Mm-hmm. And as part of it, she went to work for the senator who basically... It kind of long and short of the whole thing is she was learning the political game. It seems like Thrawn doesn't necessarily understand the political game because while he's been promoted 4 or 5 times, his aide is still an ensign. And, you know, what you find out is it's being blocked at different levels of the Empire because they know he's helping Thrawn, so they're punishing him. They can't punish Thrawn because he's, you know, doing what the Emperor wants him to do. So, but they can punish this other guy. And they kind of cross paths because they have some common enemies. What's really interesting about it is it's just a character that, you know, maybe you've read some of the expanded stuff or, you know, seen him in Rebels, whatever. But it's parts of the Star Wars universe that we don't really know a lot about. Yeah. So that's kind of what makes it cool. No. And it spans, you know, pre-A New Hope going all the way up through post-Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So. I remember reading Heir of the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 1990 or 91.
Yeah, I was going to say, that came out when I was in high school.
A long time ago. So, yeah. I mean, that was like one of the first new characters. It was pretty cool.
Yep. Detective Comics.
Yeah.
You read Detective?
I'm behind on it.
Wow. So, I'm confused. Who the hell in this universe brought Brother Eye to life? Because it seems like Ulysses did it, but there was...
Didn't when Future Tim, didn't he have it? Didn't he upload it into the like one of the computers or something when he's here?
It may have, but I thought it was this Ulysses guy, or somehow he has control of it.
Yeah, I think he just has control of it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't dislike this. But this colony thing, it's dragging.
Yeah.
You know, especially, so in this issue, you have Kate and her father basically trying to convince Batman to, you know, let us earn your trust.
Yeah.
There was a group of gangsters that had been killed, and essentially it had been blamed on the colony, but it's pretty clear it wasn't them.
Was anybody, were you confused too when, like, in that first page, like, the first couple panels, they showed, like, Tim in crutches? Or, and then, like, you find out that, like, in the last couple, I was like, because I don't remember him ever getting, like, getting beat up the previous issue. And then they didn't show him afterwards in, well, like, in those weird, like, in those long, like, arm crutches.
What I thought happened was, like, that, it was one of those deals where, you know, something happens, 12 hours earlier, and yeah. That's when...
Well, yeah, and that's what I thought, too, but I never saw, like, I didn't see anything. Normally they have, like, a...
I thought that they did say...
Oh, maybe I might have just missed it then.
Yeah, I thought that it did say something, like, a 12 okay. hours earlier or whatever, but yeah, it was, this whole thing's been confusing, and it's getting a little stagnant. I liked the book a lot when it first came out, and it focused on the family. I want it to go somewhere.
Well, then, too, they've been kind of telling this story since that first issue, too. So it's just kind of, I mean, they've had, like, you know, other stuff thrown in there, but it's like this has kind of been the underlining story, and it's...
Well, I'm okay with that, but it's not moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's having a problem. You have the Cassie stuff that has to get resolved.
They're just saving all that for the next writer,
I guess. You know, Azrael and Batwing have nothing to do.
Yeah, they're literally just standing around.
Yeah, there's afterthoughts. And then, you know, Tim, that's another situation. Find something for him to do. And I think that's one of the things Rebirth has... Tim is kind of the forgotten Robin at this point. Yeah. And maybe that's the problem, is they really don't have a role for him because Damian is Robin.
Yeah, and running, like, stuff on the Titans and stuff like that.
Well, that's the thing. He's got stuff in the Titans, he's got Super Sons, and he's actively Robin in the Batman book. Let Tim do that piece and, you know, have Robin go off and, you know, be, you know, 13-year-old dickhead Robin.
Yeah.
In the other two books and, you know, let Red Robin actually help Batman, because I think that's kind of what's needed here a little bit.
Yeah. But they got a new creative. I can't remember who it is, but they're switching it up here soon. Like once this story arc is over.
Yeah. Who is it?
I forget.
I think it's supposed... isn't it... What's his name? The guy who's doing Superman and...
Tomasi?
Yeah. No?
That's who I thought was going to take over Detective, but it wasn't.
Well...
I want to say it's like a novelist.
But isn't Tony Daniel coming back?
No, he's doing Batman right now. He's doing the Batman arc.
Okay, I thought he was coming back to Detective.
Give me a sec.
But, yeah.
Yeah, regardless.
I don't know. That's the other thing, is you've been kind of setting this up, but
John Layman.
Okay.
From Chew.
I want to say, didn't he have a detective run?
Oh, wait, never mind. No, jeez. Gosh, that's from 2012.
I thought he had a run during the New 52.
Brian Hill. There we go.
Okay.
Or at least from 282 or 982 to 986.
Brian Hill, he's doing Michael Cray.
Okay.
And he's a writer on TV.
That's the Wildstorm spinoff book,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to wrap this up.
Check
though.
Dates on text. I
yeah. That's all right. It's been a long day. And the last one is Ninja K. So this started a new arc. He was sent in to kill Ninja K2, which was his alternate, because he's apparently working with, a group, basically a Legion of Doom type cabal, and MI6 is afraid he's going to go off and tell secrets, including, you know, who all the undercover agents are, what they're doing, who their families are, all that stuff. So they send Ninjak in there, and he dispatches him pretty quickly, only to find out that the original trainer for the ninja program is alive, and he's part of this cabal, so he fights him for a little bit, and then starts to run to escape, and then people from the Stalinverse are somehow there, which I didn't realize that was part of main continuity. And it appears that Ninjak didn't know that that person was part of main continuity either. Because he actually mentions, I thought you only existed in the Stalinverse.
Okay.
So that was a little odd.
Does he actually say Stalinverse?
Yeah, he does. Huh. And it ends with him escaping and calling up his handler to say, you know, hey, we probably need some help here. So, but this is, I really enjoyed the first arc of this, and this kind of sets up for a cool adventure for the second one. So, Colin?
My turn? Well, I can't believe you guys didn't read some of the books on my list, so you were leaving them for me, which I appreciate.
Well,
but there was a lot I liked, a couple I didn't like, and I'm actually going to start with the ones I didn't like just so I can finish strong.
There you go.
You're
not going to Oreo them, you start with one.
Right,
you like.
Right. No, we'll start with, that's what I didn't necessarily not like, but Crude number one is from Image. And I really liked the pitch was really good. You had this guy who used to be like a completely feared mobster type person, and he retires. And all of a sudden, one day, someone sends back his son, his dead son, and he's been murdered. And so now he has to go off and figure out, who would disrespect him and who his son was and what happened and find out who killed him. And so that's what I was expecting going in, and it was much, that story wasn't told in this first issue. It didn't explain a lot of it. It got very confused. I found myself very confused a lot of the time about who was who, what character was named what. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention enough or it just wasn't super clear.
No,
so
not you.
I wasn't super thrilled with that one. Avengers 688 is continuing on the No Surrender storyline. It's just kind of going.
This is the one that's a book.
Yeah, this was part 14. Part 15 came out this week, and I think it ends next week. And it's fine, but it's basically Contest of Champions. You had the Game Master and the Challenger, and they pulled Earth out of its orbit to another place, and all this fighting is going on. And then they kind of got away from even that. The two teams that were fighting, the Black, what is it? It's Thanos' group.
Black Order.
Black Order fighting this other group. That's kind of been forgotten. And now it's just all about the Avengers doing stuff, now trying to stop Hulk and doing all these. It's a little discombobulated. So it just has today's issue and next week's issue to wrap up. So before a new number one with Jason Aaron. So it's just, yeah, I don't really know what to make of it, and I apologize. And Jermaine will yell at me because I probably got the names wrong because he yelled at me last time. I said Grandmaster instead of Game Master, and I got a text telling me I was incorrect.
Crap Master.
Let's see, Champions 19, not bad. It's the first issue by Jim Zub. And it's got the team. They have a new, like, mobile clubhouse, I guess is the best way to say it.
Like Big Jim's RV?
Yes, but it flies. It's more of like a Blackbird type thing.
So it's like masked.
And there were some real interesting parts to this where Riri is there as Iron Heart, and she keeps tinkering with it and improving it. And she spends the whole time kind of by herself working on her armor and things, and Viv Vision kind of comes up to her and is like, hey, you know, you're being really distant, and you know, and I'm an android, and I'm thinking you're pretty distant. And so that was interesting. And then I don't remember what else happened specifically other than Kid Cyclops is no longer on the team. I only read the first couple issues of this. But no, it was good. It was fine. It was setting up the new team, and it felt right with the younger... Young Avengers, basically, is what it is, but they went with the name Champions.
Is it established that he is not the younger version of 616 Scott Summers?
I think so, but when he was in Champions, he seemed like he was like 12, just a few issues I read. But I don't know if that's a... Because I remember they wanted to send...
He was older than that when they brought him...
Yeah, he just seemed... In the issues I read, he seemed really, really young. But that might have just been the way Wade wrote him.
Well, just remember, when they first brought him in, it was like, oh, well, if they die here, the older version
Right, and
dies
that happened
too.
Where something happened to young Cyclops and old Cyclops, like, started having a heart attack. But then I think something like they tried to send him back and they couldn't because they're on a different timeline, something. So honestly don't know. Yeah, there you go.
I've read all that. It's very confusing and difficult to explain.
Okay. So let's see. Immortal Man or Immortal Men. I don't know what to make of this one.
This is one of the new Age of Heroes.
This is one of the new Age of Heroes books. Gosh, and it's bad that I can't even really remember what happened in it. There's these ancient immortal men, and they're being attacked by the sister of the immortal man who's trying to kill them all. I can't really remember any specifics, which is not good. The biggest thing I remember is being very distracted because it was supposed to be art by Jim Lee, and it was kind of all over the place, and it wasn't. He only did a little bit of the art, and I remember just kind of being disappointed by that.
He did one page, but that's what it said.
I was going to ask how
people
long
were
do you
saying,
think he was going to be on
well,
the
Well, this was
for.
It. This was the only issue. And oh, I know okay. I saw... I didn't count. I'm not that much of an art fan. I've never been a huge Jim Lee fan. But, yeah, it seemed like 4 or 5 pages, you know, was all he really did in this whole book.
That was like one of the selling points.
Yeah, that was the problem with
this
one.
Well, that was kind of the selling point on all these books. And you know...
And the art's already
I think
changing.
That was
yeah.
manufactured... To some extent, yeah. But still, that was what they wanted to use to sell these books and to have them leave before you get to the first arc.
Right.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah. Wow, I apologize for not being able to remember any more about that one. Well, it was probably the first book I read last week. But Brothers Dracul was I think it's a Colin Bunn one at Aftershock, and it's basically exploring the history of Vlad the Impaler and his brother and how...
Charlie?
It starts off with their father has, like, displeased the local noble and, like, did not join. I don't know if he went against him, but he did not join his side in a battle. And so now the kids are kind of prisoners, but they're being taught, like, trained militarily and stuff. And they're kind of questioning, why are you, you know, we're prisoners. Why are you training us? And they're also training alongside this ruler's own children. And then it comes a day where they learn the truth, and like all these villagers have been wiped out, and they don't know why. And they go into this cave, and in this cave is like this real bizarre creature that I'm assuming is kind of like a vampire type thing, but he looks, you know, part rat, part human type thing. And that was the very last scene. So it was interesting. I'm definitely going to keep up with this one. I don't know where it's going, but and like it starts with the brother coming home. You know, it starts in the future. Or in the present, where the brother comes home and his brother has impaled all these people and he's gone insane, and now we're going back in time to learn their history.
And by present, we mean 400 years
ago. Right, right, right. So let's see. I just go down the list. Domino. This is a new number one. Domino, who's going to be in the Deadpool movie with Gail Simone writing it, and I think David Baldion drawing it. It was.
I'm actually shocked that they came out with a Domino book because it's a Fox movie.
Yeah, but I think they kind of.
They don't own it yet.
They don't own it yet, but I don't think by having a book will do anything except sell them a lot of books. And Deadpool is what it is. I don't think they hate Deadpool the way that he was so mad at Fantastic Four.
Okay.
But...
Yeah, because they've had a lot of Deadpool books in the time that there's been no Fantastic Four books.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just letting you know the score, Pat.
Yeah, I know the score.
But it's Domino's birthday, and it starts off, somebody gives her a dog, and... she goes on this mission with this girl. I don't remember her name. She's like they call her. She's like Psycho Kathy or something. But she's like this cowboy girl, cowgirl. And
cowboy girl.
But
cow woman,
cow person.
They find out that Domino has a hit on her. Somebody's placed a hit on her. It's her birthday, and she comes home, and she's having a party. They're having a party for her. And then she gets attacked at the end.
Surprise!
Yeah, but it was good. It really enjoyable. Gail Simone really has a nice voice for it. It was a lot of fun.
Is it more of a comedy?
Comedy Deadpool? Action. I mean, it's not going to be. Yeah, it's not going to be. Yeah, it's definitely Deadpool-ish. She's talking about her powers and all that stuff.
Okay.
But no, that was fun. I enjoyed that. Same vein, X-Men Red, number 3, brings in Gambit to the team, and he was a real welcome addition at the time. There was a girl who I guess had either just mutated, I don't remember if she was a carryover from a prior issue, but all of a sudden she was standing there and she has feathers on her arms, like wings, and the crowd starts, she's there with her boyfriend, and the crowd starts yelling at her, and then the boyfriend runs off, and it's like, I have a name, you don't, you're not even, worthy of a name, like a dog or something, and, oh no, the boyfriend didn't run off, and then, so they start arguing, and Gambit kind of shows up and says, hey, back off, leave her alone, and this one guy pulls out a gun and shoots at Gambit. Gambit throws a card, and of course, and sticks him, and then it turns out the gunshot killed the girl. So that was the end of that little story. And then the rest is just kind of the UN stuff where, Cassandra Cain returned. She showed up at the end of issue 1, didn't appear at all in issue 2, which was weird. Or not Cassandra Cain, Cassandra Nova. And then she shows up, I think, in the X-Mansion.
That was amazing.
No. She shows up in the X-Mansion.
Shows up in the X-Men universe.
And she kills, this one kid can see her, astral form or whatever. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. You can see me and everything. And then snaps his neck. She's like, you could have been really cool. And then she does something. You don't know what she does. And then as the story goes on, the X-Men team is returning to Wakanda. And there's these storms out by it. And they're like, oh, there's really bad storms. And they're like, oh, no, it's Storm. And everybody's happy. And then Storm says something that Cassandra Nova had said. And you could, and her eyes shows... She's now being controlled by Cassandra Nova, and it's going to take the Blackbird down. So, but that was good. It's a good, solid X-Men book. I had not read any of this book until this point, but it's been getting so much hype, and it was the last issue, and I figured, well, let's see what's going on here. And it was Thanos number 18, and this was really good. Donny Cates really has a good voice on this. I was concerned he was just getting hyped for the sake of being hyped, because he was their new, new writer,
yeah.
New doing stuff, and
Redneck is really
good. No, Redneck's good. I didn't finish God Country, but I did enjoy that. People have been really talking up the Doctor Strange stuff.
He's writing what 18 titles.
Yeah,
now
and
on
that is a fear. But this was really good, and basically just coming in at the very last issue, and it's called Dead Thanos Wins, and it's old Thanos had called young Thanos. to the end of time, and basically turns out he brought him there to kill him because he realized the only way to be with death was to
kill himself.
Be killed, but he can't kill himself because he is Thanos, and nothing else can kill him. Only he could kill himself. Right, but I mean, he can't, you know, didn't want
to... Thanos has to kill old Thanos.
Correct. He didn't want to take his own life as the old one, because that would be, like, almost weak.
Yeah.
You know, so he realized only through, you know, battle and killing himself that way that he could be with Death. And Death was really well portrayed, just kind of very coy and everything. But it was really, really good. So they have this big knockdown, drag-out battle where the young one really takes it to the older one. And all of a sudden the older one looks at him and goes, you know, what are you waiting for? You know, kill me, please kill me so I can get what I want. And young Thanos just kind of looks at him and says, Thanos doesn't beg, and walks away. He's like, no, I'm going to leave you to rot here at the end of time. And I'm going to do everything I can not to become you. Hmm. And so then he time travels back through something. And Death walks up to him, and he's like, I misread, you're not wearing a wedding dress, you're wearing a funeral dress. You know, I lost. And, she walks up and says, he beat you. And then, like, all the time, it's getting darker and darker, with Death not getting darker, and so the old Thanos just no longer exists, because he never came to be. So it was really, really good. Yeah. That was really good. I really like that. This one, Eternity Girl. I think Adam's reading. Anybody else reading that one?
Yeah.
Magdalene Viziago, who I follow on Twitter, and she's done a couple things at Black Mask, Tim and Kim, and I apologize, there was another one. It was in the P's and R's section of the store. I know where the book was. I just don't remember the title. But
not the P's and carrots.
That stuff, now, Magdalene is trans, and a lot of her, I don't know if her writing is that, but like most of her Twitter stuff is talking about that and things like that. And she was real happy when she got, it was like a little story in one of the Marvel books, but this is like almost kind of like her breakout where she has this book. And this book is blowing me away. I didn't know what to expect. Newish writer type thing. But this is full-blown, hardcore Vertigo. It's a young animal book. Basically, this girl was a superhero and taking on this other lady. I think all this happened in the back pages of the Milk Wars stuff. It was the back story. And gets turned into this basically immortal creature. But she has chicken legs, and she, like, her face has all... If you watch Game of Thrones, it has, like, what the daughter, Stannis' daughter, has.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's how she always looks like. Well, she has grayscale on part of her face, and, like, one arm is, like, burned or something. It just... And she can hold a normal human form.
Well, spoiler alert, Oliver's burned.
Right, no. But, but she can hold, like, a normal human form for a little bit, but she's not allowed to go to work because she had an accident at work where she can control reality, like, within a 30-foot bubble, and this one person, like, lost their arm because she lost control. And so, basically, she's being paid by this company now who sent her on this mission that caused this big transformation. And she just sits at home, and she's bored, and she's depressed, and she's tried killing herself, but it turns out she's immortal, and she can't kill herself. She can't drown. She can't suffocate. She can't die. She's tried everything. And then it turns out this other character who she was taking on when she became like this, who died, is now talking to her, saying, well, there is a way that you can die, and if everything dies. And keeps kind of pushing her that way. And so that's how the first one ended. And this one was bizarre because her friend gets her and takes her out to a nightclub. And so she's maintaining the human form and everything. And watching this comedian who I guess is on TV. And she's telling just these awful stories about how awful her life is and things like that. And Eternity Girl is just, afterwards gets up, she's like, I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. I don't want to watch this. And her friend thought, well, seeing somebody else talking about their problems would help her. But she's like, why am I sitting here watching this person just complain about their life? My life is, you know, is bad. I don't want to hear your problems. I have enough of my own. So she goes back home, and then this, she has like a vision or whatever of this other person saying, you know, we can do it, and they go on a little adventure. But it's just really bizarre, you know, just out there, but still grounded and everything. It's been really, really good. I've really enjoyed this. I had no idea what to expect, and I read the first one, and it was just, wow, that was really cool. And then the second one has just continued. It hasn't gotten full Doom Patrol weird. Even though really weird stuff is happening, it's you're not confused. You're not, you know, you understand what's happening. You understand her motivations and everything going on. It's really, really been good. Really surprised, pleasantly surprised on this one. I didn't know what to expect. And then the last one I read, it was only because it was a part one and kind of revisiting a character that I haven't paid any attention to in a really, really long time. And I picked up Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns 42.
Okay.
Yeah. The last time I really read Green Lantern was back like Blackest Night time.
Okay.
I really didn't read it at all during New 52.
Well, it's nighttime now, so.
Yeah. I thought you read it during John's run.
John's Blackest Night. I read stuff, no, but I didn't know. I didn't read because it was Sinestro, and yeah, I wasn't a fan. And then we became a villain and all that. I knew about it.
Okay,
but I did not read any of that. And the only reason I picked this up, I saw it was a new number one, and it looked something about it. For some reason, I grabbed it because it was a number one or story arc.
Okay.
And that was really good. It's reintroducing the Dark Stars, who I really don't know anything about, but it looks really cool. I don't know what happened to... I remember Tomar Ray, but he apparently is gone, and
that's
now we
Tomar
have...
Ray.
Tomar 2?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Tomar 2, who had killed somebody else to...
One of the other... whatever his species name from his planet was a Yellow Lantern, and he killed him.
Okay. But at no point did I feel lost.
Yeah.
There was enough there to allow a new reader, and it's like, okay, oh, that's not the Tomar Ray I know. I remember the guy that looked like the bird. You know, that you don't need to know exactly, but just really good. A little, you know, philosophical stuff. You know, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to kill and take care of these problems. And if you don't like it, leave me locked up. Almost like an Alpha Lantern is kind of how it started to feel a little bit.
That's one of those titles that were like, because he was writing it during the end of like the New 52, and then whenever it went over to Rebirth, it was one of those titles that was got like a good boost and just kind of with the writing.
I read
changed.
The Rebirth one and it didn't sell me, where you had Clear Hal forging his own ring and stuff, and I was just okay, whatever, and I didn't jump back on. But this one I thought was really, really good, and then he becomes the first Dark Star as the armor overtakes him. I'm in. I mean, that felt very Johns-esque. It had his, you know, feel of, you know, somebody who really knows the character and stuff. And again, the big thing, I picked up issue 42 and was not lost at all. So
the only bad thing is though, I think this is his last run on the book.
That's okay. Because he's going off to do Hawkman, which I think is going to be pretty cool. Because I like Hawkman as a character, but man, is his history convoluted. So that'll be kind of fun to see somebody, you know, addressing that without... I still remember... It was Jan Dersima, I think, did the cover of one. And it was like gold foil, black. And they tried... I think it was after Zero Hour. And they tried to make his origin, his history make sense. And it didn't work at all. It was very, very confusing.
Did you see that Dan Jurgens is doing the other Green is going to be doing the Green Lanterns?
Book. Okay, that's interesting.
And
okay,
I think starting in July, okay. I think is what, so whatever the new solicits were.
Cool. But that's all I read.
That's
it. So if anybody left anything else off, okay. So
what's going on here, Colin?
What's going on here is I need to get to bed.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Here in the store. Right now, the next thing up next Friday is book club, where we're doing Superman American Alien.
You think?
Tell me about it.
You think Avengers is going to affect that at all?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
possible. Well, like, Lytle's like, I don't have time. Can we kick it to the next week? I'm like, to the day before Free Comic Book Day? No.
Yeah, right.
I'm not doing staying here for book club the day before Free Comic Book Day. No offense.
You were such a whiner.
I am. Well, we used to, the problem is there used to be always a Magic release the Friday before Free Comic Book Day, so I'd have kids here playing Magic until midnight. And then they'd finally leave, and then I could get set up.
No, I know.
And it's like, I'm thrilled that, you know, no, I can get set up at 7, be home at 9, actually get a night's sleep. Because before, they'd leave at midnight, I'd get set up, I'd get home at 3 in the morning, I'd get up and be back here and trying to be, you know, like, I clearly cannot do it anymore. So, no, I'm very happy not to have that situation.
I forgot about that, the Avengers is coming out. That's going to be
There's lots of days to see it.
And at this rate, there might not be any more tickets left at any theaters.
Yeah, true, if you haven't bought them. But the previews order is due next Thursday, the 26th. So if there's anything in the current previews book that you want, please let me know or put it in the app. But do that as soon as you can, especially because I'm probably going to start working on it this weekend or early next week, and it's easier if the info is in the computer and I don't have to keep adding stuff. So what else we got? We got Free Comic Book Day coming up in 2 weeks, which I got the books and I got to start getting them all. What?
2 weeks.
I know. I just got to get them all stamped. I know they already started stamping them on Monday.
I thought you stickered them.
Stickering them, but
okay.
Get everything done. I got the bag of all of them to go through and make sure everything. Is kosher and what's not kosher and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. Getting more books next
Zombie
week.
Zombie Tramp is not rated
no,
G.
No, no. But we're getting, I'm getting a bunch of the Image books are coming in next week.
Yeah, so the dollar. And then some of the True Believer stuff.
Yeah, more True Believers will keep rolling in. It was funny, I cut back my True Believer numbers on FOC this week. It was just kind of funny because I had to put in big numbers for all of them, and then I realized, oh, wait, the stuff's coming after Free Comic Book Day. I don't need big numbers on them anymore, so I cut back. So that's pretty much everything that's going on that I can think of, but again, I'm not thinking real clear. But
double points, you want to talk about?
Double points on Superman for the end of the month to celebrate today's Action 1000. It's going to be good to talk about that next week. I didn't totally dig into it because I only had a little bit of time between getting home, eating dinner, and then coming back last night. So, but I knew
better off just staying here with the lights off.
Yeah,
yeah, but I was hungry and I kind of wanted to get away from here for a little bit. You know, 24 hours in the store doesn't sound all that fun. So next week is.
What's coming out next week?
There we go. Next week we have Aliens Dust to Dust, and I think they tried to hit this on Aliens Day. I don't know what it is. It's sometime in April that corresponds to the number on the ship.
Okay.
Too much for me to figure out, but Aliens Dust to Dust is a new 4-issue mini coming out. Antar number 1. I'm not sure what it is, but it's from IDW, so we'll see what that is. I believe it's the end of the Avengers No Surrender is coming out. Batman the Signal is ending its little 3-issue run. We have a new Black series coming out. That's from Black Mask. The basic premise behind it is, what if only black people got superpowers? And how would society react and deal with that? And that's what the first miniseries was about, and this is a continuation of that.
See, I read
the AF does not stand for action figure.
I don't think it does, but I'm not 100%. So we have Battlestar versus Battlestar Galactica continuing, because who doesn't love a good little Battlestar and Battlestar action? I'm tired. We have DC previews. So next week we get the previews book, and we've, for the longest time, had the Marvel have its own book. And then Image had its own kind of little book, and now DC is going to get its own book. Although Image is still in the main previews, DC has pulled itself out of the main previews, and now it just is its own.
Oh, really?
Its own little book.
That sucks.
Well, the reason they did it, and I understand what they're saying, is before they gave the files to Diamond, and Diamond put them, you know, formatted them, put everything in the book. Now, by having their own book, it's already out as a PDF. So you can download the PDF of it and see all their stuff, and they can do more with it that way. That's my understanding.
Yeah, but it becomes, then why do you have
the previews thing is now a mess. Deep Roots, number one, this is from Vault. Plant life has kind of taken over. They've had enough with humans and taken over, and now people have to live underneath the ground and deal with the roots. Doctor Strange, I believe, is a Damnation tie-in, is along with Doctor Strange Damnation number four, the last part of that. Domino, I have more Domino number ones coming in. I sold out. I ordered Deadpool numbers and sold out immediately. So I have a couple more coming in on Thursday, and then I have a bunch more coming in next week. Doom Patrol number 11. You said it wouldn't come, but it's here.
No, we said we wouldn't understand it.
True, but I ordered it in September, and it's finally showing up. Yay. Only a little bit late. Dungeons & Dragons has a new series, Evil at Baldur's Gate. Exiles, I have more number ones coming, as well as number twos coming out next week. A book called Fear Diaries. I don't even know who it's by. It's a little $2 book, but it sounds interesting. You know, and I ordered a bunch of it, so. So I saw something there that intrigued me enough to order. Hunt for Wolverine. You missed him. You wanted him. Guess what?
Still he's not coming getting back. Him.
He's they're hunting for him. They're looking. At least they're looking, Spencer. Okay.
He's very, very quiet.
Yes. There we go. Ice Cream Man number 4. I know people have been enjoying that. Invincible Iron Man 599, where I believe we get the return of Tony Stark, or at least they've teased it up that way. Jeepers Creepers, which is based on a horror movie. I'm excited for this. JSA The Golden Age trade paperback, new edition. I remember reading the issues and just being completely blown away. I believe it's James Robinson and Paul Smith did this, and it's back, I'm going to say the 90s probably. But just a really, really, really good story. And I haven't read it since then. And it was out in trade for a while, and then it went out of print. And then it came back in a hardcover, and now it's coming finally back in the paperback, so I'll get a chance to read it again. Marvel Rising Zero is a little preview thing. It's like an all-girl team. I think it's designed towards, it's the kind of their shot at DC superhero girls.
Okay.
So that's my impression.
So they're younger teenage versions.
Yes. It's just a little giveaway. I'm sure they timed this to be for a free comic book day. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Annual. People are liking this book. Mighty Thor 706 is the like the obituary to Jane Foster. Not this, the epilogue. How about that? That's a better epilogue is a better word. We've got the previews. Prisoner, which is based off the old TV show, The Prisoner. So this is a from Titan, is doing a series on this. Let's see, Shadow Man number 2. That was for Josh, but he's not here. Silencer number 4. I've really been enjoying that one of the new age of DC heroes. That one.
Did you get more Silencer number or Shadow Man number 1? Remember they came in damage.
Yeah, I got those. Yeah, okay. I got those in. Just for Pat, not just for Pat, but Pat's the one that's most interested in this one. Is Stabby Bunny number 4? We have the Terrifics number 3. That one's been really good too.
Yes.
Thanos Annual, which is wrapping up everything, and it's basically Thanos or somebody going to Thanos' histories and all the horrible things that he's done over the years. Titans Annual, which I believe is tying up all the Titans books for them to relaunch something that we'll probably learn more about next week in the previews. Venomized is continuing with number 4, and then Just for Dave, but not Just for Dave, because other people are going to want this, but you asked about it today.
Really? Other people want it?
Yeah, I do. Vampire? Yeah, okay. No, I do well with these.
I don't know what it is.
X-Files, Case Files, Florida Man.
Okay, good.
What they've decided to do, instead of doing a series, they're just going to do a whole bunch of little minis. I think this might only be like 2 parts, and just get a little story in and out, you know. Here's the problem, here's the solution, or whatever it is, instead of drawing stuff out. So I think that's a neat way to do it.
That works for me.
It works, and I think it really works in this kind of book, where you can have a one-issue or a two-issue, but you don't necessarily need a season-long story type of thing.
So, like how comic books used to be.
Pretty much, yeah. And even like how X-Files used to be until they hit that last season, where they tried to make it 6 episodes that tied together with the one funny one with the lizard guy.
Yeah.
Or this season was much more... At the beginning and the end, but the rest of them just kind of were fun X-Files episodes. So that's all I got. I'm pooped. It's time to go home.
We'll go home and get changed.
I didn't poop, but I want to go home and lay down in my bed. So as always, you can find me at the store. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics, Instagram, and Twitter are both PGH Comics, and I promise to get a little more on there, especially with Free Comic Book Day 2 weeks away. Time to start promoting that guy. Although it's always, how much promotion do I need? Most people seem to know. And the people that I don't know that show up, they always show up early, and they know too. You know, so hopefully it'll be a crazy day. We got some.
Get here early if you want books.
Well, yeah, I did order a lot less this year.
Oh, really?
I did, because last year I ordered a boatload, and we ended up putting 4 long boxes in the basement. And I'm like, that's too much extra. So I cut way back. There was one that kind of stuck in my craw, and it bothered me. There was one last year called that was Kaiser Soze, and I don't know what I ordered on it, but enough, a lot. Spent, a good bit. And then the issues came out, and it went 1, 2, canceled, and 3 never came out. And it was only a 5-issue miniseries. And it just kind of bugged me. It just made me go, you know what? So I wasted the money on the Free Comic Day books. I wasted the money on the issues I ordered in.
Right.
And I'm not supporting the little guys, but as I was going through the lists and looking at the books, if it's a book I don't carry, or, like, 2000 AD, I have one guy gets the pack, and they're like $28 for the pack of like 4 or 5 issues. But I have one guy that gets that, so why would I order a ton of extra 2000 AD books? It's not going to generate any sales. The manga stuff doesn't generate any sales. So I kind of aimed back on that. I still ordered big on the, the big ones, the DC, the Image, those, Marvel. But just some of the fringe ones I'm happy to have, but I'm kind of at the point where they got to kind of carry their weight. I can't just blindly support everybody. And then I ordered a bunch of, like, the True Believers and the Image number ones, and got those in. So, there's going to be plenty of stuff, but I just, I didn't go as deep. So, like a lot of my books, I'm like, you're getting $10, and I'll buy $10 worth of your free book, and got them in, so... We'll see how that goes.
It's not pretty, you.
Alterna didn't get a Free Comic Day book. Like, they weren't approved or whatever. So they did their own. They did...
You have to be approved?
Yeah, you can't just... There's a committee, the Free Comic Day committee, and they'll only take so many, like 50 titles. Because otherwise, we'd get 200 people wanting to do Free Comic Book Day books. So they do limit how many they'll...
That seems odd, though, that they would say Alterna can't, but Marvel, you get 3. Well, DC, but, you get 3.
Right. Well, there's the gold, there's the silver, and I'm sure those companies pay. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
To me, that just seems odd.
No, I agree, but somebody decided, and they didn't. One of the things that I wish they worked a little harder on, and hopefully this year when I go through the book and look, one of the things we've kind of complained a little bit about in the past was too many reprint books. But I know they did let one go through. But what's the point? Like, my one concern, like, this year, we have a Strangers in Paradise number one, which is reprinting number one. Well, that's awesome. Number 3 comes out next week. I do, give me something newer ahead of time to create interest.
Although, at the same time, you do heavily promote the Image firsts and the...
Right. No, I do. Right. So no, absolutely. But, for some of these, it's like, give me something, fresh.
Is there an Avengers book?
Yes. Yeah, there's an Avengers book and a Spider-Man book.
Well, I was thinking because of the movie.
Yeah, which is fun that it comes out now since they moved the movie up. Not a big deal, but yeah. But it's an Amazing Age 0 issue is what they did. And they did a Kickstarter for it, and I did it, so I have them in. So those are here. I'm trying to think. That's about it, I think, of the extras. Yeah, other than just getting more True Believers and Image stuff that's coming next week, I think I'm pretty much set. So it's not as many books, but then I'm going to pull up the four long boxes from last week and put those out too.
Yeah.
So there's going to be plenty of books on the table.
As always, you'll have sales. And
yeah, we'll have.
That's what always brings me is the sales.
Yeah, we'll have sales. I was a little bummed. Brian had a plan of contacting the old flower shop and putting up dollar books in there, but they've rented it, so it's not available. So we'll figure out something out on the sidewalk.
Things are going, you probably have snow.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully not. Hopefully we get a good weather, but the weather's always I think it rained last year.
It did, but it wasn't bad.
No, but it was one of those, what do I want to put outside just in case?
Yeah.
So I guess I should probably start looking at that. Too much to do. But, so, thanks for everybody that came out last night at the midnight release. Thanks for everybody that came in today. Action 1000 is selling very, very well. And I think that's all I got. That's all I'm good for at this point. So, Pat.
For the second week in a row.
Was it? I thought Dave did it last week. All right.
That's a podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was trying to change it up.
Sorry.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.